Alright, so we're holding on Coquette Summer Bays, the ninth line from the top. We learned yesterday that Bacopara had said there's three things a person should try to stay away from. One of them is Miun, which is the connection to our Mishnah and to our Perek. And the other two were Accept of the Kodon, which we said specifically is talking about when the person lives in the same city as you, and Becoming an Arev, which we said specifically we're talking about an Arev Shaltzion, the kind of Arev, the kind of guarantor for a loan where the lender has the right to go after the Arev to collect the debt rather than, as the usual case in Halacha, where you first have to go to the borrower himself, and only if the borrower can't pay, then he goes to the Arev. So that's what we're up to. Where do we see that being that kind of Arev is a bad thing? The Amar of Yitzchak, as we see Rabbi Yitzchak says, my dichtiv, what does it mean that it says in the pasuk, Reya ye roya ki orav zar, evil, he will have evil because he orav a stranger. Now the word orav has a double meaning. It can mean to be an orav, but it can also mean to mix in. So it means ra acharah tava, evil upon evil is going to come, l'makabla gerim, to people who accept gerim. Now what do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? So Tosfos points out that it means, for example, either that people who convince goyim to become gerim, which we learned earlier in the Masechta. When a goy comes as a prospective gerim, you're supposed to try to talk him out of it. Point out to him how difficult the Jews have it in the world, and so on and so forth, and see whether he's really sincere about it. In this case, you're doing the other way around. You're convincing him, which is a bad thing. Or the other thing, Tosfos says, is that they come and you right away accept them without checking into their motives. On the contrary, though, if they really are sincere and then you push them away, that itself is not a good thing. Tosfos points out the famous thing that we find that the Avos didn't want to accept Timna as a prospective Giyotis, and who was her son, Amalek, who caused us no end of trouble.
Yeah. What they did wrong,
so meaning what they did wrong. They should have, she was sincere about it. In the end, Rashi says over there that she said, you know what, I don't have a chance to become part of Avraham's family as a Jewish woman. Then fine, let me at least become a Pelegish to Avraham's family. And she wound up becoming Eliphaz's Pelegish, Eliphaz the son of Esav, and their son was Amalek. But here, so our Gemara that's talking about that evil will befall those who accept gerim means when they accept them improperly. When fakir, you're not sure whether the gerim really has proper motives, and you're accepting him, or you yourself are convincing him, in fact. So that would be the orav zar, either Marsha talks about that orav is the same lashon as orav that we just said before. You're becoming an orav for a stranger. This person by rights should be a stranger. They shouldn't be part of the Jewish people, but you're accepting them into the Jewish people. Effectively, you're becoming an orav, a guarantor, because kol yisrael orav in zelazeh. Other mafarshim say no, it means orav meloshen mixing in. You're mixing in strangers into the Jewish people. Ula arve sheltzion. Second one is for someone from an arev sheltzion that we talked about, this kind of arev who the lender can go after you. So you're putting yourself into a bad situation, and you become an arev for a stranger, ki arav zar. And number three, ula tekeya atzma ledvar halacha, somebody who sticks himself into a matter of halacha. Which, what does that mean? We'll talk about it in a few lines. The word tekeya actually has a double meaning. The word tekeya can mean attach, and it can mean sticking in. So what do we mean? Gemara is going to talk about it in a minute. What do we mean by each of these things? Mekabla geirim k'rav chelboi. Where do we see that people who accept geirim are not a good thing? It's like Rav Chelboi says, Amar Rav Chelboi, koshim geirim le'yisrael k'sapachas. But k'sapachas v'or. Geirim are as bad for the Jewish people as a sapachas, a tzaras, on the skin. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, and we talked about different reasons why that is. So what kind of gerim are we talking about? So we learned before that there's a lot of different explanations in Mefarshim. One is that we're talking about that, generally speaking, gerim tend to be careless in halacha, so therefore the born Jews learn from them, or that they're extra careful in halacha, and therefore that they make the born Jews look bad, or there are various all kinds of reasons that we learned. So no, there it means even genuine gerim. Even genuine gerim can be a problem for the Jewish people. How much more so here when we're talking about improper gerim? So therefore, ra achar ra. So therefore, it's not a good thing. So therefore, in Chassidus, it talks about that it doesn't mean necessarily, given all Gemara Kashim Gerim Yisrael Ketapachas, you can't say that the whole reason the Eved Shah sent us into Golus is...
for every rule, there's always an exception.
No, so in Chassidus, it specifically says that it can't mean to actually get physical gerim, actual goyim will become Jews, because as we see from our Gemara, that's generally not a good thing. No, the Eibishter wouldn't have sent the whole Jewish people into Golos for the rare situation where ger is good. No, the Kadeshi Tosfah and gerim refers to the Netzotis Akdusha that we're mivare in Golos. Those generically can be called gerim because. Okay, you know. Fine. Once a ger becomes a ger, Abadi, you have to love him. But we should know that it's not a good thing to get to for gerim to join us in the first place. If they join, Abadi, if it's a genuine ger, then of course you love him and so forth. But yeah. Number two, Arve Shaltzion. Why shouldn't you be an Arve Shaltzion? Davi Shloif Dutz, as we talked about yesterday, that it's pull in and stick. It's pull out and stick in. You're pulling out the responsibility for the loan from the borrower himself, and you're sticking it in to somebody else. So that's not a good thing. What does tekei atzmi l'dvar halacha mean? What does it mean, somebody who sticks himself in or who fastens himself to dvar halacha? Netanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, famous expression, kola omer ein, or actually the famous expression is going to be in a minute, but first, kola omer ein lo Torah, ein lo Torah. Anybody who says, I do not have Torah, meaning I don't have to learn Torah, then he doesn't have to, he doesn't spend time learning Torah, ein lo Torah, then he doesn't have the schar of learning Torah. Question is, pshita, well, of course, if he doesn't learn Torah, why should he have the schar for it? Ella, no, what we mean is, and here's the famous expression, kola omer ein lo ella Torah. Kola omer ein lo ella Torah, ein lo ella Torah. Somebody who says, I only have Torah, meaning I'm only learning Torah, I'm not interested in kiyum mitzvahs, then he only has the schar for learning Torah. Question is, hanami pshita, isn't that also obvious? Ella, no, we have to fix it up yet again. And here's the famous expression, Ella dafilu Torah ein lo. If somebody says, I only have Torah, I don't need mitzvahs, then he doesn't even have Torah. His Torah itself is not worth much. That's what it means. Tekei atzmi l'dvar halacha, somebody who attaches himself to halacha. And he says, basically, you know what, all I have to do is learn the halachas. It's not so important to actually fulfill them. Then we're saying, that's a bad thing. He doesn't even get the schar for his learning. My timer, why is that? Amar Rav. That's Talmud, Godel Talmud should be the day Maisa. Turtle learning is a big thing. One second, yeah. My time, Amar Papa, Amar Kro, Ulamad Tem Vasisa, because the Pasuk says you should learn and you should do. Kol Sheyeshne Vasia Yeshne B'Lamida, anybody who is involved in doing the mitzvahs, then they're involved in learning as well. Kol Sheyeshne Vasia Yeshne B'Lamida, somebody who doesn't fulfill the mitzvahs is not actually his learning, is not really a learning. And the Maharal says a vort, doesn't really mean literally somebody who actually says, I don't have to do mitzvahs, of course. It's a pshita that his learning is worthless. It means more along the lines of that he says, basically, I'm too busy learning to bother doing, let's say, for example, he gives the example, a person has come time to build a sukkah, he says, I'm too busy learning, I'm going to delegate it to somebody else. No, that's not the right thing to do. You should be oisik in mitzvahs yourself.
How do we explain Rashi that said that he's not?
In exceptional cases, Torah, and yeah, even Rashbi. The less lay the Rashbi, Shemafsik Lulav, Shemafsik Sukkah, the Yerushalmi says, yeah, even Rashbi would have to stop for taking Lulav and sitting in a sukkah and so forth.
I would say a little bit, that's Emily Torah, means to say, so he was able to accomplish the other aspects of his
Torah.
He
okay. In Chassidus, in many places, including there's a Maimer in Likutei Torah, in Vayikra, this Gemara is brought in dozens, maybe hundreds of places in Chassidus, and one of the big points that they make is that when we say over here, Ein lo yela, kol ha'omer in the other Torah, means the person who figures, I only have to be involved with Torah, I do not have to be involved with Avodas HaTefillah. Then I feel a Torah ain't loy, because without the Avodas HaTefillah, Torah is not really Torah doesn't really accomplish very much. The Boisema, or another possibility, La Olam Kidam Ritu Meikara. You don't have to change the wording of Rabbi Yossi's teaching of the Braisa. You could say Kol Ha'omer Ein Le'ala Torah Ein Le'ala Torah. That anybody who says I only have Torah, then he only has the Schar of Torah. So what does that mean? We said isn't that Pashut? And the answer is it's not so Pashut. What if he's teaching other people and they're going and actually doing mitzvahs? So Mao Detema Islay Agri Lidi Day. So you might think maybe he himself gets reward for their mitzvahs. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush that Rabbi Yossi is saying that no, he does not. Because he himself is not involved in doing mitzvahs. The fact that other people, even though he's being mezakeh eser abim, and we know in Pirkei Avos it says, call him mezakeh eser abim in chet v'al yodoy, but here he's specifically saying, I'm learning only in order to learn and in order to teach, but not, so then we don't say he's protected.
Yeah.
Right.
So then the question
is,
does that
help? Mm-hmm. Does he also benefit others? The Pashtus, yes. Yeah. So all this is one way of understanding tekeat milidvar halacha, that it means somebody who attaches himself only to halacha as opposed to actual practical ma'aseh. The Iboisema, or another possibility, what is tekeya atzma l'dvar halacha? Here we're going to use the word tekeya in the sense of, like, he sticks himself in to halacha where it's inappropriate. It means, but dayana da'ase dina l'kamei, you have a dayan, or a din Torah comes in front of him, but gomer halacha, now he's learned the halacha, or medame milsa l'milsa, he goes and compares one thing to another to try and figure out what the psak is, so he sees a similar case in Shulchan Aruch, and he draws an analogy to say, okay, in that case, then in this case, the halacha should be said as such, but the islay rabba, but he has a teacher around, and he does not go and ask his teacher to check, you know what, is my inference correct? He's tekeat milavar halacha, he's sticking himself in to deciding the halacha, where instead he should be checking with his rav first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Da'amar of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar of Yonason, La'olam yira dayan atma, a dayan should always look at himself, ki'ilu cherev munachas lai ben yirei choysev, as if a sword is lying between his thighs, meaning he makes one wrong move and he'll get hurt. The Gehenna psuchol emitachtav, and that Gehenna open up underneath him, again, if he one little misstep, and he winds up there. Shenema, as the pasuk says, kinei mitase shel shloima, here is the bed of shloima, which throughout Shu Hashirim, the word shloima is actually a reference to the Eivishter. So shloima over here represents the Eivishter, and the bed of shloima represents the Beis HaMikdash. The Eivishter's shechina lies and rests in the Beis HaMikdash, like a person is comfortable and lies in their bed. Yeah, which is Mashiach Mitzvah. Shishim Geborim Sovereign Law, there are 60 mighty men around it, representing the members of the Sanhedrin. Midibori Yisrael, from among the mighty men of Yisrael. And each of them is holding their sword. Mipacha Balelos, from fear in the night. Meaning, Mipacha Chargahenim Shudom Lalaila. They're nervous about, they're holding their sword because they're afraid, and then they're working on them, figuring out the halacha in order to pass him correctly, because they're afraid of Gehenim, which is like night. Mipacha Balelos. So Tosfos asked the question, if the Shishim Gibodim over here represent the Sanhedrin, what Shishim? There's 70 members, 70 or 71 members of the Sanhedrin. So there are a number of different answers. Tosfos themselves says that no, the 60 actually instead refers to 60 times 10,000, 60 myriad Jews. And the Sanhedrin represent the Jewish people. But other Mepharshim talk about different possibilities, one of them being that at the end of Sefer Melachim, the Pasuk describes over there the people who were taken into Golus by the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It describes over there you had five close advisors of the king and one person who was in charge of mustering the army and so forth, and 60 people. So altogether, there's a Gemara, I think a Yerushalmi, that explains that altogether, if you count up the number of people, there you get 71 people, and that was the Sanhedrin. So we see that 60 can mean, in other words, you have like 11 top members of the Sanhedrin, and then you have the 60 regular ones. And we see that they're afraid, mipachad balelos, of the fear of making a misstep and winding up in Gehenna. So therefore, Dayan has to have that mentality.
That's what state punishment is?
So that's what we're saying. Therefore, we're saying, tekei atzma l'dvar halacha is somebody who's not afraid of that kind of thing, who says, you know what, I'm willing to rely on my own brains, on my own inference, without checking with somebody greater than me to make sure I'm not making a mistake. Then the Mishnah had said, let's review. We had the case in the Mishnah was that you had two brothers married to two sisters. One of them is an adult, one of them is over bas mitzvah, the other one is below bas mitzvah. What happens then? We said that if the older girl's husband dies, then we have a problem. The older one has to do yibum with the surviving brother, but he's married to her sister, who's a ketana. So we said three possibilities. We said Rabbi Eliezer had said you teach the ketana to do miyun. That's what brought us into this whole discussion about whether it's proper to do miyun or not. That way she's out of the picture and he can do yibum with her sister, no problem. Rabbi Gamliel said, don't have her do miyun. Let her, she'll grow up. If she decides to do miyun on her own, then fine. But if not, then she'll stay with her husband. She'll grow up. She'll eventually become bas mitzvah. Then automatically her sister becomes achos ishtei midaraisa. And then at that point, she's potter from chalitza and yibum. The zika is broken off. We learned earlier in the sechta that Rabbi Gamliel holds that's not a problem. Mutul levatel mitzvah yibum. You're allowed to actually do something to prevent yibum from being able to happen. Yeah, basically. And then we have the third opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, who said that, no, you can't do that. You shouldn't have her do miyun. But on the other hand, she's also at this point, because one's achos ishtei and the other one's achos hukasei. So therefore, he winds up having to divorce his wife, the ktana, and he also has to do chalitza with the gzorah. So now we're going to focus on Rabbi Gamliel. Bominei Rabbi Elazar made up. My time is at Rabbi Gamliel. What's Rabbi Gamliel's reasoning that he's saying, when he's saying that this young girl, the ktana, should stay together with her husband until she becomes a bat mitzvah, until she becomes a gdola, and then at that point, she's married to him, daraisa? There's two ways of looking at it. Mishum de kasal b'kedusha ktana miflotalu. Is it that he holds that the kedusha of ktana, when they're drabanan, as we've been talking about throughout the parak, are sort of hanging there? It's uncertain yet what's going to become with them. And as she grows older, they grow along with her. So when she reaches bas mitzvah, then automatically the kedushin automatically becomes a kedushin daraisa. Effectively, yeah. Therefore, afa gadlei bal. So even if he does not have relations with her after she becomes bas mitzvah, nevertheless, she's still right. Right. Oy dilma, or maybe not. Meshum de kasava hamakadish achos yivama. Lifted a yivama v'halchala, or maybe is it that Rabbi Gamliel figures if you're makadish the sister of your yivama? We learned before that Rabbi Gamliel says mutul levatel mitzvah yivama, that even though you have Rabbi Gamliel holds first of all ein zika, that the zika is not strong enough to prevent you from marrying one of her sisters, and mutul levatel mitzvah yivama. So maybe Rabbi Gamliel holds no, it's not that automatically this girl becomes makadish to you when she becomes bas mitzvah, but even if it wasn't a matter of a young girl, even if it was a matter of that you have your brother's wife as a shemeres yavam, you're allowed to actually go and marry her sister, to go and be mekadesh her sister, even though that prevents you from doing yibum. He holds that's not a problem. So do we say the same thing over here? You're allowed to be mekadesh this kana, how? Specifically by doing bia. By doing bia after she's bas mitzvah. And then at that point, and then that's hatos her yavama. So only e ball in e le ball loy. So only if he has relations with her would that happen. If he didn't, then the kedushin still remains. The rabbanon. Amalei. So Rav tells him, "Hi, in the time of Rav Gamliel, the reason that Rav Gamliel's reasoning is actually the second one. Shum dekasava, because he holds a makadosh achos yivama. If you go and a makadosh the sister of your yivama, niftir yivama v'hochala, that the yivama or at that point becomes potter because mutul levatel mitzvah yivama. You're allowed to do an action with somebody else that's going to cause you, that's going to prevent you from doing yivama. Therefore, ibal ein ilay bal loy. So only if he did bia after she became a gdola, then yes, then we say the yavama is potter. If not, then you still have the same problem. She's still stuck until you actually do bia, until you do an action to make a new kedushin that's going to be chal daraisa. No, but he's already married to her. If he just does a regular kedushin like giving her money or whatever, that's not going to help anything. The kedushin at this point would be that he does be'ila l'shem kedushin.
He's asking you a good question.
Okay, I hear. Okay.
Excellent. The question is not according to this question. So then the kasha of the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say ball? Okay, or the Gemara, this is what the Gemara means. The Gemara says ball. The Gemara means she make a pact with Kenyan when she's in Torah. Or is the Dafka only ball, but not?
Okay. That's a good question. I don't know.
Good.
Yeah. If she waits until she becomes a Gedula.
Yeah.
So the Kedushim of Duraisa.
According to his question, even if he does Kiddusha, even if he does Kiddusha Kesef or Kiddusha Shtar, okay, it's a fair point. Okay.
What was the question?
The question was, basically, why is the Gemara saying Dafka Baal, the same thing would be if he gives her money at that point, or if he gives her a Shtar at that point, and says, how do I have the Kiddusha Shli? Okay, I don't know. Amalei Rav and Breder Rav Nachum. Amalei Rav Sheshes says, Amina, I have to say, Kinoyim v'shachiv Rav Amalei Hashmaita, that Rav must have said this when he was falling asleep. We learned earlier in the Sechta, we had the same expression, and we said over there, the Chavis Yoyer, as a Vortan, and he's not saying it to disparage Rav. He's saying, what you're claiming that Rav says makes no sense. The only possible way Rav could have ever said something like that would be if he was half asleep and didn't realize what he was saying.
He's denying the fact
that Rav could have ever said this. Yeah. No. D'tanya, why? Because we live in a b'raisa. I'm a kaddish akhtana kiddushay ployin. That if you're a kaddish akhtana, the kiddushin are hanging there. My tsluyin, now what does it mean hanging? Must be the first alternative. Lav ki god l'gadli b'adah. On the face of it, tsluyin means that they're hanging there until she becomes bas mitzvah, and then automatically the kiddushin grow up with her. But I forgot the light bulb, even if he didn't do b'ilah. So,
who said this?
We have a b'raisa. We don't find anything that contradicts it.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Amalei Rav and Breder of Nachman. No, not necessarily. What the Braisa could mean, Ha Milsa de Kana Mitla Pal Yavakaima. All the Braisa means is that the Kedushin of a Kana are hanging there. It's depending. It depends on what's going to happen. Ebal Ein Eli Bal Loi. If he does Beila, then yes. If not, then not. In other words, when the Braisa says Tsluyin Va'imdin, doesn't necessarily mean they're hanging there, but will automatically take effect once she becomes about to enter. It could mean it's conditional. It's conditional on whether he does Beila. Okay, so then it gets back to his question of why not Kesach. I don't know.
Maybe the Chacham made it there, but they don't want to.
You know what? Actually, it could be. You know what? We might be able to understand it based on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. We're going to learn soon. The Gemara is going to point out, and we've had this already a couple of times. There is a difference between Kedusha Bia and Kedusha Kesef and Shtar. Kedusha Bia, the Rabbanon can't. Kedusha Bia, there's no conditions or anything possible with it. Bia is Bia. Kedusha Kesef and Shtar, there's a Tznai possible with it. So therefore, you could argue, if he gives a Kesef or Shtar, you could argue maybe there's a Tznai involved or whatever, so maybe it's not a complete Kedusha of Bia.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Right. Well, Bechlal, I mean, you have in a half dozen places in Shas where this distinction between Kesef and Shtar on the one hand and Bia on the other is brought. Rashi in each of those places, earlier in Or Masechta and in Kedushin and a few other places, Rashi quotes from his teachers who explain that what the Gemara means is Kedusha Bia or Daraisa, Kedusha Kesef and Shtar are only Dirabanam. And Rashi in every place asks on that, how you talk it. Of course, Kesef, Kedusha, Kesef, and Shtar, Adaraisa. We see if a woman is in a Scottish Kesef or Bishtar, she's fully an Asian Tish. Chayiv Misa for being Mizana with her. But still, according to Rashi's Rebbeim, you could say that there's that distinction between one Daraisa, one Dirabanan. So yeah, you could argue in this case, she's already in a Scottish Dirabanan, then maybe another Kesef of Bishtar.
People say, for example, the Rambam mentions that a lot of people say that what they mean is.
He means that it's learned with Hatorah and Midrash Hatorah and addresses them. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's move along. Why? To Amra, because she's able to say now, who adif minai v'ano adif minai. In one way, he's better than me because he has the option of giving me a get, which I can't refuse. On the other hand, I have an advantage over him because as long as we haven't done Be'ilah, I have the option of doing Miyun. Daraisa, that is. Dirabanan, once she's a Gdoila, she can't do Miyun anymore. But Daraisa, if we're saying now that the Kedushin don't fully take effect Daraisa till they do Be'ilah, that means until they do Be'ilah, she still has the option of doing Miyun. Yeah. And there's other mafarshim of what exactly this last line means. Yeah, So therefore that could be what the braisa means. It's mitla talya v'kaima. It's hanging there because she has the option still of dissolving it until they actually do
bila. So over here it comes out that the mien, even though we learn normally speaking on words so well, so bila then mien works here.
Midaraisa, yes. Midrabanam, because midaraisa the whole marriage doesn't exist. Midrabanam, no. Question is, the Sava Rab Ibal Ein Ilai Balo, you're telling me that Rab holds a distinction whether you did be or not. Baha Itmar, but they said a discussion as follows, Ktana Shalem Miyana, if you have a Ktana who did not do Miyun while before she became Bat Mitzvah, Vigdila, then she grew up, but Umdamanisis, and she goes and marries somebody else, Rab says she does not need a get from the second person, on the face of it, because at that point the Miyun's been effective. Whereas Shmuel says she does. My lab delay ball. On the face of it, it means that the first one did not do Be'ila after she became a Gdola. We're saying that which amounts to saying, therefore, so what does it mean, therefore? So she doesn't need a get. Now, Rav is saying she doesn't need a get from the second one. Why not? Because she's still married to the first one. If you're saying that you need B'ilah for her to stay married to the first one without Isa, then why? He didn't do B'ilah. So therefore, she's still only married to him, the Rabbanan. Why shouldn't the second guy's tradition, which exists there, right? So why should that override that? The answer is light of all. No, you could say very simply that it is talking about he did B'ilah. The discussion over here is not specifically talking about whether he did B'ilah or not. So yeah. Question is, he did B'ilah my time to Shmuel. Fine, if she did B'ilah, then what's Shmuel's logic that says that she needs a get from the second one? If she's married D'oraisa to the first one, how can the second one's kedushin have any effect? The answer is Chasaba, because Shmuel holds call up B'ilah. I'll ask kedushin or Rishonim to B'ilah, because Shmuel holds when the husband does B'ilah after she becomes a G'dola, he's doing it having in mind that it's based on the first kedushin. He says that no. In other words, the first kedushin words it up on him. He would actually have to have specific kavana that the Be'ila is now meant to establish a marriage d'oraisa. Because otherwise it's a continuation of the marriage d'rabanan.
Do anything?
You can have kavana to make it now a marriage d'oraisa, or you can have kavana like you were all the time before she was a g'dola. That you're continuing as a marriage d'rabanan. Okay, the truth is Tosfos points out that it would kind of be znus, because since at this point she's a gzola and there really isn't an option for the Rabbanon anymore, then yeah, it would have to be znus if it was going to be that. Fine, but, you know.
The only time you can do that is by your problem.
We're talking about a regular marriage. Question is, well, Pligli Bachada Zimna. Why do we need this Machalikas again, according to that? Bob and Shmuel already argued about that elsewhere. De Itmar, because there's another discussion. Kitchal Tnai Vakantastam. If somebody was Makadish a woman based on a Tnai, and then he married her without specifying the Tnai, let's say, for example, Rashi gives the example that he did Kedushin on condition that she doesn't have any outstanding Nadarim. Later on, he marries her, and it turns out she does. Do we say that she needs a get? Rab Alma Tzricha Emenu Get. So Rab says she does, because effectively we say that he overrode his Tanai. The fact that he was willing to do beer with her means that he decided to abandon his Tanai. Or Shmuel Amayna Tzricha Emenu Get, where Shmuel says not, because presumably he's doing the Ilah Almanach, the first Kedushin, having in mind the same.
Why does it say, why does Rab not say that?
Okay, well, that's what it means. Tzricha Emenu Get. She needs a full-fledged marriage.
Well, you know, okay, I'm talking about here. That he's so excited that he's living with her, that he's about to deny.
But
why should you want to give her a gift?
Okay, because maybe not. After all, the fact is, we see the nedarim. That's the question. Does he have the right to say now, you know what? I wanted to marry you without nedarim. It turns out that you have nedarim. I don't want to stay married to you. Therefore, I'm canceling the whole thing with Hakila. Or do we say no? When he married her, he was willing to overlook it, and now he.
The Rabbi Shmuel would be arguing, even if he doesn't make up this
claim,
Shmuel would say that.
Right. Okay, but Rav would say no. Yeah. Why? Because she says, call up Boyle, that's Kedushin or Shonim or Boyle, that when you're doing Be'ila, you're having in mind the original Kedushin. The answer is Tzricha. We do need both of the Machloikas, and you can't learn one from the other. De'i Itmarahi, because if you only had the Machloikas over there, in the case of where he's Makadish al Tanai, you would say, Bahi, call him a Rav, then Rav, why would Rav say over there that she needs a get, meaning it's a full-fledged marriage? Mishum de'ik a Tanai, because after all, there was a Tanai. Mekivin de'bal, achle le Tanai. Obviously, when he did Be'ila, you don't do Be'ila based on a Tanai, so therefore, necessarily, he must have been willing to overlook his Tanai. Aval Baha, but in our case over here, there's no matter of Tanai. Therefore, Ema Mordele Le Shmuel. You would think maybe he agrees with Shmuel, that maybe Al-Dasa Rishin, he's not taking into consideration the fact, you know what, before she was a Tana, now she's a Gdola, before it was Dirabanan, now I have the opportunity to make a Dirabanan. Maybe.
Sure,
yeah. So therefore, we need that. V'yi Itma Baha, and if we only had our case over here with Tana, Bahach Kama Shmuel, then we would say only in our case does Shmuel say Al-Dasa Rishin, Aval Bahach, but in the other case of the Nadarim, Ema Mordele, Rav, you would think maybe he agrees with Rav Tzricha, therefore we need both machlokes in. Rashi has a slightly different girsa over here, based on the Gemara and Ksubas has this discussion also, and the Tzricha is put a little differently over there, and it's sort of the other way around, that if we only had our case over here, where there's no Tanai, then we would say that's why Rav says that she needs a get, because there's no Tanai to talk about. Obviously, it's a transition from Dirabonim to Doraisa, so therefore there's no question of a Tanai for him to be Moichalon or not being Moichalon. But in a case of a Tanai, maybe you would think not. And then if the other way around, then you would think Shmuel says in the case of the Tanai, but not here. Tosfos discusses that you don't really need that change of girsa because so you have the Gemara in Ksubos says it that way. Okay, but our Gemara says it differently. The Gemara discusses over there in Ksubos actually the issue of when the Gemara discusses over there the different opinions. If somebody is Mekadosh al Tanai, then later he does Be'ilah whether she needs a get or not. You could say our Gemara is going according to the opinion that she does, yeah. Okay, the question is, let's go back again. Can we really say that Rav says that the kedushin of the Sakana depends on whether he did Be'ilah after she became a Gdola or not? Coming back to the question from before, but there was a case like that in Neresh, the name of the place, the Ikdashok Sheik Tana, where she was Niskadish by her mother or her brothers or whatever when she was a Tana, and she became Bas Mitzvah. They sat her on the kala chair, on the litter over there that we talked about the other day that they would use to carry her to the chuppah. And somebody else went and grabbed her to marry her himself. And these two Talmidim, Rav Brunner and Rav Chanano, Talmidim of Rav, were there. The second guy was Makadi, grabbed her and was Makadisher. And presumably it was with her das, because otherwise it wouldn't be an issue. And yet they did not require her to get a get from the second guy. Now obviously her first husband hadn't done Ve'ilah after she was Bas Mitzvah, because she was only on her way to the Chuppah. So and yet they're saying that the marriage is already considered a full-fledged marriage to Daraisa, and the second guy's kedushin have no effect. Why not?
They're
Tamidim of Rav. They're Tamidim of Rav, yeah. Okay. It's a strong question. You would expect them to be going according to the Rebbe.
Okay.
Amar Papa, the difference is Neresh min sab nisibi v'hadam moisi abe kursia. The difference is in Neresh, they do things backwards. First they do the nisuin, then they seat her on this fancy chair. And then carry her around. So yes, by the time she's sitting there, the nisuin have already happened.
To put her on the chair.
Yeah. So therefore, the nisuin's already happened.
What did they ask?
What? No, during the Sheva Brachas, yeah, whatever, that was her custom, yeah. Rav Ashi has a different answer. No, it is, we could even be talking about where they do the regular thing. She's sitting on the chair before the chuppah, before the nisuin, but who also shaloika ha'igen? This guy, the second guy who grabbed her and was mekadosh her, acted improperly, therefore l'fichach also by shaloika ha'igen, therefore the chachamim treated him also sort of unfairly. Bapkin, Rabbanan the Kedushin, meaning the Rabbanan uprooted his Kedushin. They said, you know what, yes, you did a Kedushin. It should be valid min Atorah, because at this point she's only married to her first husband, the Rabbanan. But because you did it in such a way, then we're gonna take it away. We know, we've learned before, call him a Kaddish, Adaita the Rabbanan Makadish. When a person is a Kaddish, he has in mind that he's doing it with the consent of the Chachamim. In this case, the Chachamim don't give him no consent. And again, the question is, Amal Ravina Lurabashi, Kenach the Kaddish Bakaspa. That would work if he was Makadish with money. Which then you could argue that the Rabbanan are mafkiyah, because Hefker based in Hefker, they could say the money doesn't really belong to you, therefore the Kedushin are not valid. Kaddish would be a mai. What if he did Kedushin with Bia? How could you uproot that? The answer is Shavu Rabbanan, the Bia Lasnus. In that case, necessarily, the Chachamim consider this Bia to be as Biasnus when necessary. We had this concept earlier in the Masechta, same idea that for example, we talked about the case where a guy sends a get to his wife and then is mevatalit, even though Daraisa, the Bittul, is effective, the Rabbanan don't allow it to happen because they nullify his Kedushin to begin with and make that everything has been Bia Lasnus. Same idea. Amr of Yehudah,
this was an exceptional case.
This is an exceptional case, yeah. In our Mishnah, again, we have this three-way machlokes tanoim. Who's the halacha like? Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, halacha k'Rav Eliezer. The halacha is like Rav Eliezer, that in this case, you tell the tana to do miyun so her older sister can do yibum. That's the halacha. V'chein Amar Rav Eliezer, halacha k'Rav Eliezer. Nowadays, as a practical matter, we first of all, mitzvah chalitza kedemis l'mitzvah yibum, for according to Ashkenazim anyway, and second of all, we don't do miyun nowadays either. But in principle, the halacha would be like Rav Eliezer. Mishnah says, Mishaya Nosu Lishte Yisoimus Ktanis, if somebody is married to two Yisoimus who are both Ktanis, unlike the previous Mishnah where we're talking about that they were sisters, here they're unrelated to each other. Umes, and then he dies. Now, his marriage with both of them is equally Dirabbanan, because both of them are Ktanas, who are Yosemites. So neither of them, their Kedushin is valid Dirabbanan, so both of them are only Dirabbanan. Therefore, Biyasa, Chalitzasa, Shalachas Man, Pateras Tarasa. So therefore, when his brother does Biyur, Chalitza, to one of them, then it automatically passes the other. Same way as if both of them were married to him Dardai, so that would work. Same way when both of them are Dirabbanan, it works. Now, what do we mean, by the way, how about when we're talking about doing Chalitza with one of them? Do we mean doing chalitza right away? Rashi says no, because she's a ktana. We learned in the previous parak you can't do chalitza with a ktana. So it means after. It means she has to wait till she's bas mitzvah. On the other hand, other mafarshim talk about no. That we learned in the previous parak that Rabbi Yosi holds that a ktana can. Tosfos points out that we learned in the previous parak that Rabbi Yosi holds that a ktana can do chalitza. Okay. V'chein shtei chershus. What? If she does miyun, that's another matter. We discussed before whether you can do miyun after the husband's death. That's a different matter. Yeah. She could do, but she didn't. Yeah. Right. Yeah, she could. Yeah, yeah. But here we're not talking about miyun.
She gets married.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on the first
thing. It's the same way if the brother was married to deaf women, which we'll learn in the next paragraph, that's for deaf mute, actually, women and men also. Also, midaraita, they're not able to get married or divorced, but midarabanan, they were mistaken that they can.
Deaf mute,
yeah? Deaf mute, yeah. Generally speaking, in halacha, when you talk about a cheresh, it means a deaf mute, yeah. So the same rule applies. Since, again, both of them is the same kind of marriage, it only exists in Abanan, so therefore the brother does chalitza or yibum with one of them, it patters the other. Now, how can you do chalitza with a chershis? The Gemara is going to talk about that. How about, though, ketana v'chershis? What if the brother was married to two women? One is a ketana, one is a chershis. So both of them are married to him, dirabanan, but it's a different kind of dirabanan. They're based on two different takanas. So then, ain bia tachas man peteres tarasa. So then the bia of one of them does not pop to the other one, because you can't say, as the Gemara is going to talk about, you can't say that automatically you do one and automatically it pops to the other, because they exist on two different levels. How about pitachas v'cheshes? What if one of the wives was a regular girl? She's a gdola. She's over bas mitzvah and she's healthy. She's not deaf mute v'cheshes, and the other one is a cheshes regardless of age. Bias pikachas peteres acherus. Then, if the brother does bia with the pikachas, with the normal one, that's a stronger zika, deraisa. So therefore, it patters the cherus, where the zika only exists in Rabbanan. Then bias acherus peteres the pikachas. But the other way around, if the brother does bia with the cherus, it doesn't help the pikachas because her zika is stronger. Gdolo ktana. Similarly, if the two women, one's an adult, one's a child, bias gdolo peteres ktana. Then bias ktana peteres gdolo. Same idea, because the gdolo is married to him deraisa, and the ktana only midrabban. You're telling me that Chereshes is able to do Chalitza? But we learned in the previous Perek, Cheresh Shenechlat, the Cheresh who does Chalitza, the Yavam is a Cheresh who does Chalitza, the Chereshes Shechalitza, or woman, the Yavama is a Chereshes who does Chalitza, the Cheletzes Minakotten, or if you do Chalitza with a Yavam who's a child, Chalitza Sapsula. What do you mean? Yeah. Amarav Gidol Amarav Abia. You're right. When the Mishnah says V'chein Shtei Chershes, it just means that the Bia of one patters the other. You're right. Chalitza is not going to be possible.
Just because of the other
thing. Right.
Why do we use this
Mishnah? Because V'chein Shtei Chershes, we mean there's a certain similarity. The same way as with Kanes, whatever is possible to do with one is possible. It automatically patters the other one. The same way with Chershes, whatever is possible to do with one, which in this case being only Bia, patters the other one. Rav Amar, Afilu Teima Achalitza. No, you could even say that our Mishnah is talking about Chalitza. Because Kan B'Chershes Mi'ikra, because our Mishnah would be talking about a woman who, to begin with, when she originally married the brother, was already a chershes. Kan v'pikachas v'achachach nischarsha. Whereas the Mishnah in the previous parak is talking about a woman who originally was healthy and then she became a chershes. What's the difference? Chershes me'ikra k'yechi d'ol hachinop. The difference is like this: if she was a chershes to begin with, her whole marriage only existed at bottom. Midaraisa, a chershes is not capable of having the das to accept kiddushin. So how does she bechlau accept kiddushin? How does she bechlau get married in the first place? By making movement. She shows in sign language or whatever that she wants to get married, and therefore it works. So the same way when it comes to chalitza, she can show her consent to chalitza by making gestures. Whereas Pikachas, Vachachon, Heskar Shaloi, whereas if she was originally a Pikachas, where she was married Doraisa, and then she became a Cheshis, Loi, Dema'achva Bakriya, because then as you said in the previous parak, it has to be that the Yavama is capable of saying the Psukim, and a Cheshis is not. Or according to some other Mephoroshim that we learned over there, the problem is not that she can't say it, the problem is she can't hear based in saying it to her. No, so we said the idea of Das may not be such an issue because she may, because Basin is telling her what to do. Basin is telling her what to do. But in the case of a Chershis, the problem is she can't hear what they're saying.
The way I understood it, Ibn works.
That Ramban explained in the previous parak. That the issue is not so much das or not, because since Beis Din is telling her what to do, you don't need complete das, but you do need to be able to hear what Beis Din is saying, and the Chereshes can't.
That's okay. I'll ask you a simple question. Can a cotton do Yibum?
Yes.
Can a cotton do Chalitza?
No.
Why?
Okay, because you need das. We know that. Fine. Okay, fine.
Have a conversation.
Okay, no.
Now we have to find out why Taken.
Okay, no, let's move. No, we don't really have time for Polam over here. Okay, we can do that after. Es Vabaya. Vabaya asks the question, what are you telling me that there's a difference between two different kinds of Chershes? The Chershes me Kara Bas Chalitza. You're telling me that a woman who to begin with is a Chershes is able to do Chalitza? Well, it's not. But we learn in the next parak, Shnei Achin, if you have two brothers, Echad Pekeach Vechad Cheresh, one's normal, one's a Cheresh. Nesuin the Shtei Nachrius, they're married to two unrelated women, Achas Pekachas Vachas Chershes, one's married to a Pekachas, one's married to a Chershes. Presumably the case is the Pekeach is married to the Pekachas, the Chersh is married to the Chershes. Mes Chersh Baal Chershes, so if the Chersh, the one who's married to the Chershes, dies, Ma Yas Pekeach Baal Pekachas, so what is the normal one who's married to the normal woman, what does he do? Kainis, he can marry the Chershes, fine. And then if he wants to give her a get, he's able to, because she doesn't need das in order to receive. She doesn't need consent, rather. She needs das. She can't be a shoita, but she doesn't need consent. She doesn't need consent to receive a get. So the get can be baal kocha.
Right.
Yeah.
And also,
he can do. He can't do chalitza because she doesn't have das,
right.
Because she can't say the psukim, whatever.
Right.
But he's able to do yibum, and then if he wants to divorce her, he can divorce her.
Right.
And
again, she doesn't need das.
Right. Mes pikeach baal pikachas. On the other hand, what if the pikeach was married to the pikachas died? Ma yas a cheresh baal cheresh. So what can the cheresh who's married to the cheresh, what can he do? Koinis. He has to marry her. Again, he can't do chalitza. But ain't him still owe them, and he's not able to divorce her because he can't give her a get. He can't give her a get. It's going to override the kedushin of his brother, the pikeach. Now, my love, the cheresh's beikra, isn't it, aren't we talking about, the Mishnah is talking about where the woman was originally a cheresh, and the Mishnah is saying that the Pekeach can marry her, but he can't do Chalitza. Why? Evidently, because it doesn't matter whether she's a Chershis from birth or whether she became a Chershis afterwards. Either way, you can't do Chalitza. The answer is Loi. Not necessarily. You could say the Pekeach is Vachach and Eskarsha. You could say the Mishnah is talking about that she originally was a Pekeach and then became a Chershis. No proof. Toshma, how about another attempted proof? In that case, Rava's distinction would still be valid. That somebody who was born a Chershes, the same way as she gets married Dirabanan, you can do Chalitza with her Dirabanan. Whereas a Pekachas, who became a Chershes, she was married Doraisa. The Zika exists Doraisa based on her marriage with the first husband. The Chalitza would only exist Dirabanan, and you can't do that. Okay, Toshma. Shnei, the Mishnah continues there. Shnei achin pichin nesuin shtei nachrius. If you have two normal brothers married to two unrelated women, achas pikachas vachas chershes, one's normal, one's a chershes. Mes pikeach bala chershes. If the one who's married to the chershes dies, mayas pikeach bala pikachas. So what does the other one do? Koinis. He can do yivum with her. And again, vim ratzal ahoitzi yoitzi. If he wants to divorce her afterwards, he can do that. Same idea. Again, the implication is he can't do chalitza because she can't say the psukim. Mes pikeach baal pikachas. On the other hand, if the one who's married to the pikachas died, mayas pikeach baal chershes. And what can the other one, the married to the chershes, do? Simple. It's a regular case of zika. He can do chalitza or yibum. She's a pikachas. You can do either one. Now, my love. Now, again, isn't it? Shouldn't we assume midhu pikeach meikra? Since presumably the Mishnah is talking about somebody who, to begin with, his whole life has been a pikeach. He nami chershes meikra. Then presumably the chershes also means somebody who was. Born a Chershes.
You might be Shiva, you said Nekra, he said Nekar.
Yeah, good enough. Rikatani, and we see the Mishnah, yeah. And we see the Mishnah says, Konas ein cholot lo, he can only marry you, he can't do chalitza. So again, obviously there's no difference between a somebody born a chereshes or somebody who became a chereshes afterwards. No. The answer is, media. What kind of a question is that? Hokidisa. One's one case, one's the other case. Yes, a pekeach could be talking about he's been a pekeach his whole life. The chereshes could be talking about she became a chereshes. It doesn't have to be parallel like that. Okay. He asked him another question. The Mishnah there also gives another case. Shnei Achin, again, two brothers. Echad pekeach ve'echad cheresh. One's normal, the other's a cheresh. Nesuin shtei achoyes achas pekeaches v'achas chereshes. They're married to two sisters. This is actually the same case we had before. They're married to two sisters. One's pekeaches, one's chereshes. Mes cheresh ba'al cheresh. If the cheresh who's married to the cheresh dies, ma yatz pekeach ba'al pekeaches. So, the difference is the previous, before on Amud Aleph, right. We mentioned that it was two unrelated women.
Right.
He was two sisters.
Right.
So that's another wrinkle. So, ma yasa pikeach baal pikachas. So, what does the one married to pikachas do? Tetz misha machoisisha. The cheshes can go free because she's the sister of his wife, who's an heir to him. And his wife is married to him, Daraisa. On the other hand, mes pikeach baal pikachas. If the pikeach was married to the pikachas dies, ma yasa cheresh baal cheresh. What does the cheresh who's married to the cheresh do? There you have the problem again that on the one hand, he can't do yibum because midrabanan, she's a choisishtoi, because he's married to his wife, the cheresh is midrabanan. On the other hand, midaraisa, there's a zika. Therefore, moitias ishtoi beget, he has to divorce his wife for the get because she's the sister of his skuka. She's the other woman is a skuka to him, midaraisa. And his brother's wife remains also forever because he can't do chalitza with her. Now, therefore you see from that a cheresh can't do that. A cheresh can't do chalitza. You want to tell me maybe that also there you're going to fanfare and say that the Mishnah there was talking about that originally he was pekeach, now he became a cheresh. The problem with that is mi mati mapik. You're saying he has to divorce his wife with a get. If he was a pekeach, if he married his wife as a pekeach, which then it was daraisa, and now he became a cheresh, how would he be able to give her a get anyway? Vatnan, we learn in that same Mishnah, nischarsha, yotzi, that if the woman becomes a cheresh, he's able to divorce her, because again, she can be divorced bal karcha, she doesn't need consent, so therefore it doesn't matter whether she consents or not. Nishtatis lo yotzi, on the other hand, if she became a shoita, he's not to divorce her, which even though technically she should be able to, again, she doesn't need rotzin, the chachamim did not want to allow him to, because then they're going to have a problem, she doesn't know how to watch over herself, people are going to treat her minik hefker, who knows what's going to happen to her. So therefore, they prevented him from divorcing her.
Midrabanan.
But the Mishnah continues, Nischarash hu ay nishtata, if he became a cheresh or a shaita, lo yotzi alamis, he's not able to ever divorce her. So we see clearly that a pekeach who becomes a cheresh is not capable of divorcing. So if you're telling me, if the Mishnah is telling us that the cheresh has to divorce his wife, the cheresh, obviously that means that he was a cheresh his whole life. So how is he able to divorce her? Because again, the same way as he was able to marry her by gesturing, the same way he can divorce her by gesturing to the sofa to write a debt. But not if he was a pekeach and became a cheresh. Midahu cheresh miikara. And furthermore, since we've established that in that case he has to be a cheresh from birth, he nami cheresh miikara. Then we should assume that she is also a cheresh to begin with. Midachoyes cheresh miikara. And furthermore, since the case of the sisters, this last case that we just mentioned, is talking about that she was a cheresh, or that both he and her were cheshim to begin with, from birth, nochrius nami, so the earlier case of the Mishnah about the unrelated women, must also be cheshis meikara. Utnan, gabi nochrius, konis ein cholot loy. And you see by that case, it says he can marry, he can do yibum, but he cannot do chalitza. So you see that even somebody who is congenitally a cheresh cannot do chalitza, even though the marriage to begin with only existed in Rabbanan. Ishtik. So, Rava was quiet, he couldn't think of an answer. Later on, when Abaya came to visit Rabbi Yosef, Amalei tells him, you know what, you were finding such a convoluted way to ask the question, my time of Tosfadaha, why are you asking, why are you trying to slug him up from that, which after all, the Yachal Shanu Yalach Achoyas Chershes Meikara, he could answer you after all, there is a distinction, the different parts of the Mishnah are talking about different cases, the case of the sisters is indeed like we just deduced, means that they're cherishes to begin with, but nachar is tichas vachas and scharshu. You could argue that the earlier case about the unrelated women is that they were pichas who became cherishes afterward. So in that case, that's not an ironclad proof.
What is
Yeah, like Hakadis of Hakadis, exactly. Different parts of the Mishnah. Might be talking different cases. Rather, you should have asked him, you should have shlugged him up based on the following case in the Mishnah. Shnei Achen Cheshin, if you have two brothers who are Cheshin, Nesuin Shtei Achoyes Pichos, who are married to two sisters who are Pichos, Oy Shtei Achoyes Cheshis, or they're married to two sisters who are Cheshis, Oy Shtei Achoyes Achas Pichos Vachas Cheshis, or again, it's two sisters, one's Pichachas, one's a Cheshis. Doesn't matter, because either way, since the husbands are Cheshim, then the marriage has only existed upon them. The same way, if you have two sisters who are cherishes married to two normal brothers, or the shnei achim cherishin, or the two brothers who are cherishin, or the shnei achim echad pekeach echad cherish, or the two brothers, one's a pekeach, one's a cherish. Again, same idea, because all the marriages exist only did abanim. Harei lepturus min achalitza min ayibum. Then they are potter from chalitza. They're potter from chalitza and yibum, because again, one of them is his wife, midrabanan. The other one is Achoyis Ishtei, also Midrabanan, and therefore she's Potter. She's an Erev Midrabanan. The Imhayu Nachrius, on the other hand, if these women were unrelated to each other, so it's not a problem of Achoyis Ishtei, Yichnoisu, then they have to do Yibum. The Imhayu Lahoyisi Yitzhiu, and then if they want to divorce them, they can divorce them. Now, we're back to the question. Hey, Chidami, what case are we talking about? If we're talking about that the men over here were Pichim who later on became Chershim, again, how would they be able to divorce? We learn in that mission, we said that if she's a Shoita, Midrabanan, he shouldn't divorce her. But if he becomes a Cheresh, she became a Shoita. But that's only Midrabanan. But conversely, if he becomes a Cheresh or a Shoita, and he's not able to divorce at all. Because, again, the marriage was Daraisa, and the guest could only be Midrabanan at best, and then he can't do that. So obviously the case has to be talking about where the men are Chershim to begin with. And in this case then, if the men were Chershim to begin with, then their wives also, it's all in the same part of the Mishnah, it must be parallel cases. If they're Chershim, so are their wives. And it says that if they are unrelated to each other, then they can do Yibum, because they're not a problem of a Chos Ishtoi, implying Yichnoisu in Yachla Tuloi. They can marry them, they can do Yibum, but they cannot do Chalitza. Why not? Obviously because even if they're Chershis from birth, you can't do Chalitza. So obviously there's no difference. You're trying to make a distinction between whether they were Chershis to begin with or whether they became Chershis later. That doesn't work. Tiufta Dirabba. That's a clear contradiction to Dirabba. Tiufta. Clear contradiction. That's it. Then the Mishnah continued, Ketana v'cherishes chula, that you have the case where one of the brothers is married to two women, one of them is a Ketana, one of them is a cherishes. Again, both of them are only married to him, Dirabanan, but a different Dirabanan, so that's what we're going to talk about now. And we said, therefore, the bia of one of them doesn't top to the other one. Amr of Nachman, Ashkachti l'Rav Adar Ba'ava, or l'Rav Chana Chasnei, I once found Rav Adar Ba'ava and his son-in-law Rav Chana, the Yasvi, that they were sitting, Kamakvu Akvasa v'shukha de Pumbedissa. They were gathering Talmidim around them in the streets of Pumbedissa to hear the Torah that they were saying. That's right, the Rashi gives another girsa that not Makvu Akvasa, but Makhu Akvasa means they're sitting there and asking kashas to each other. Actually, on Chumash, in Parshas Vayechi, V'lo Yikasamim, Rashi uses the girsa over there, akasa, but he explains it according to his, does a hybrid over there. He has the girsa akasa with a hay, but he explains it according to his first explanation over there that they were gathering their talmidim. Okay, so he explains it with the kasamim, means that the nations will gather to follow Mashiach. Anyway, the Amri, and they were saying as follows, Haditna, and this that we're learning in the Mishnah of Tana v'Cherishes and Bia Sachas Man Peteres Tzadasa, this that we're saying that if he's married to a Tana and a Cherishes and you do Bia with one, it doesn't pass to the other. That would only be if the brother himself was a pikeach. We can't really say, we know, fine, both of them are only married to him, Dirabanan, but which one really is the main wife? He's dead, we can't ask him. Which one really did he think of as his main wife? Which one did he prefer? On the one hand, does he likes better the fact being married to Akhtana because the Asya L'Chaldea, she will eventually grow up and have Das. Ibechershes Nicha, or maybe he preferred being married to the Chershes, maybe he considered her his main wife, Digdolahi, because after all, right now she's an adult, or Bas Bia, and he's able to do Bia with her, whereas Akhtana is not really shy for that yet.
question is, what would happen if he's actually
I don't know. Aval not for my achel cheresh, but if the two of them were married to a brother who was a cheresh, vadei becheresh is nichalei. Then there's no question. Obviously, he preferred the chereshes, because then he has no reason to prefer the ktana, the bas biyahi, because then she has all the advantages. She is capable of bia or bas minehi, and she's the same kind as him. They're able to can understand each other. They're on the same wavelength. Yeah. So therefore, so in that case, yes, you would say that if you do bia with the cheshes, then pat is the ktana. That's what Rav Adar Bar Abba and Rav Chanan say. But Rav Nachman then says to them, no, even if it was from a brother who was a cheresh, nami mesapkalei. The same suffix would exist. The same suffix would exist, because even with a cheresh, you can't really be sure that he necessarily prefers being married to a chereshes. Maybe still he prefers being married to a ktana, where eventually she'll become a gdola and she can manage the affairs and whatnot. Yeah. Ketza takanasan. Okay, so how do you fix things up? Over here, if you're saying that the bia of one doesn't pass to the other one, but you can't do chalitza with either one, so what do? Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Koines HaChereshes. What you do is you marry the chereshes, umetzia beget, and then you give her a get, which again we said so far that a get you're able to give her because it doesn't need her consent. Uktana, as far as the ktana, tamtin ach tagdil, wait till she becomes bas mitzvah, metachlitz, and then do chalitza.
Two sisters.
No. The case in the Mishnah was they were not two sisters. What we said, the bia of one, because you can't do yibum with shnei nashim abaris and bayis achad. You can only do yibum with one or the other, and you can't do. We said that if you do chalitza with a tana, it's not going to help the gdola anyway. So. And once you do chalitza with the ktana, you're not sure whether you can marry the chereshes, because maybe the ktana was the primary one, and then that part to the other. So necessarily, you have to do it in that order. First, do yibum with the one, divorce her if you want, and then later on, you do chalitza with the ktana. Why does he must? He can stay married to her. He can stay married to her and then do chalitza with the other one afterwards. What's the problem? Then he can divorce her with a get if he wants with hashtos. I don't think he has to. Oh, you're right. Tosha says the chalitza ktana is pasalala. Yeah, you're right. Because once he does chalitza with the ktana, later on, it should be retroactively, it'll pass to her because it comes out that she's thought of chalitza. Right. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, Shmamina, we see from that then, if this is what Rav is saying you should do, then that means, Kasava Rav, Chershes Knuya Umashuyaras, it means that the Chershes, when you do Yibum with her, it's a full-fledged Yibum, Umashuyaras, and but there was something left over, there was still a possibility of a Zika existing with Ktana. Ktana, Knuya Beina Knuya, whereas the Ktana, there's a Kenyan, but not a Kenyan. It's like a we're not even sure whether it's a Kenyan. The Isak could have a chereshes knuya ve'ena knuya, because otherwise, if the chereshes herself is a doubtful Kenyan, ktana knuya u'mishuyeres, and conversely, ktana is a Kenyan, but there's still something left over, chereshes amaya konis amitziya v'get, then why are you saying that you can do yibum with the chereshes and then give her a get? Case of gabei memarafshach, let her be able to stay married to him, because either way, I knuya hi ha knuya hi, because if you're saying it's a matter of a suffix, then if the Kenyan was a Kenyan, then good, v'ilav knuya hi, and if she's not, if the Kenyan of a chereshes had no effect in the first place, well then she was never married to the first husband, hanach spalmahi, then she's an unrelated woman, there's no issue of tzaras chalutzas, right? So you might say Tana my Tamta not Chitago Vitakhoi. Okay, you might say according to that logic, why are we saying that Tana has to wait around until she actually is able to do Chalitza? Case of Gabe, you should argue that she also should be able to stay married to him. Because again, you could argue the same kind of thing. If the Kenyan's a Kenyan, then good. And if not, then she's unrelated, she's not a tsara of the other one. You left with the question then, how are you going to exempt the chereshes? How are you going to exempt the chereshes? You can't do chalitza with her. Rav is saying you want to be able to accomplish something that both of them will be able to be free to go and remarry. This is the only way to do it. And we'll continue tomorrow night, Bez Hashem, with more on this.